God is the, his greatest gift was Jesus. Amen. Amen. And it's not over. The battle now begins. Would you take your swords, please, and go to the book of Isaiah in chapter 9. Hallelujah. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Would everybody read it with me, please? Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Mighty God, Mighty God, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government or his kingdom and peace, there will be no end. In other words, it's eternal, not temporary. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from the time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The child would be called Almighty God. Now you think about this. In other words, he's talking about an eternal kingdom, not a temporary kingdom. In other words, God was going to put on flesh and come into this realm, which is a temporary realm. And there's a purpose for this. Something terribly had to go wrong for God to have to come in here and rescue us. Hello? That's why he had to give us a new covenant, didn't he? Because if the old covenant was sufficient enough, he wouldn't have changed it. But something terribly wrong manifested, and God said, I got to go get my kids. They need strength. They need power. They need my presence. They need my glory. And they need truth because they've been deceived. In the book of Luke, in chapter 1, it says in verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greeting this was. Like, what's up? Then the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You found favor. How many of y'all want favor? Well, when you know you're in favor, you can always expect some kind of visitation. Something always happens. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, or in Hebrew, Yeshua. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I don't have a man? I'm not married. And we haven't had sex. And the angel answered her and said, don't worry about it, Mary. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So Mary conceived this child without sex. Hello? I'm going to say it again. Mary conceived this child. She was conceived without having sex. There was an impartation of the seed of God by his Holy Spirit that overshadowed her. This was a miracle in itself. See, there's something about the seed of God. The seed of God that brings birth. You know, when you plant the seed of a plant, right, it grows. That seed grows and it produces a tree or a bush, whatever it may produce, and it produces either buds or leaves or fruit. And here was the seed of God that was imparted into a woman to come forth into this natural realm. He came from the eternal realm into the natural realm. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 25, it says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now, in their custom, on the eighth day, they always brought the child in to be circumcised. Eight meaning new beginning. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would see the death, he would not see his death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, this is powerful. The Lord's Christ. The word Christ means anointed. As a matter of fact, Christ is actually a Greek translation here. It's the only Greek word in the Bible. It's supposed to be anointed one and his anointing. Now, I want to share with you what the anointing is. The anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. That is the anointing. The carrier of the anointing is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who carries the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. And what was put in Mary was God. God came into this realm. Why? Because he wanted to bear more fruit. He wanted to spread out more seed. So in this, he had to come. The Bible says that a seed, unless it die first, cannot live. Hello. The seed of God. Jesus the Christ, the seed of God. The eternal presence, power, and truth. And his seed was manifested in the physical realm from the eternal realm. He was a Nazarene. Let's go a little further. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. And let me see where we are now. Verse 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, the child is destined for the fall and rising many of the in Israel for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So in this we see that Mary knew that something was going to pierce her. And we knew that that was going to be the death of her son. Even though it was God, she still raised him as her son. Many things were revealed to her. Believe me, angels had come and gone to Mary multiple times. She did carry God. And so there was much ministry between Mary and angels. There were things that were put in her heart that she couldn't say yet. In fact, when they were at the wedding and Jesus was older, this is when his ministry started, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized. And they ran out of wine, and they asked Jesus. Well, Mary went to go ask Jesus, hey, can you do something about this? And he said to her, it's not my time yet. And Mary looked at the disciples and said, whatever he says, do. Because there's something that Jesus said to Mary when she asked him. He didn't say, okay, Ma. He looked at her and said, woman, it's not my time yet. See, he separated himself from mother, now he was her Lord. Now he was her God. And she said to all the disciples, whatever he says, do. You know why? She got it. She knew it was time now. She knew it was time to let her son go because he was her Lord. He was the one standing in front of her who created her. You know, our peanut brains have a hard time with all this sometimes. The one who holds the universe in the palm of his hand. Creates all things, holds all things, sees all things. Who brought me and you into this realm to fulfill a mission from God? It's something we always must ask ourselves. Am I fulfilling the mission God sent me into this realm for? Am I still playing carnality? Am I still playing religion? Am I still fighting for my life? Have I really surrendered my life, or am I in survival mode? Am I really doing what's right before God? Do I really know him? Do I really know him? Do I really hear him? Do I really obey him? Do I really serve him? Everyone will stand before him. Nobody escapes. Not one. In verse 39, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. Again, Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, the eternal presence of God, the eternal truth, the eternal power, was put into a man of flesh. And his name was called God Almighty, Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 10, Mark 4, verse 10. But when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Now, there's something important here. He says they. Remember, Jesus was the seed of God, but there was also the seed of the serpent. So Jesus was saying, "I'm speaking parables because he's only allowing those to understand." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes." Everyone say, "Satan comes." Immediately. He don't wait. He comes immediately. Believe me, he's going to come and try and steal everything you hear today. He comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, because they do not abide. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. You know, the Bible says the serpent is subtle and cunning. He'll outwit anyone in a minute or a second. That's why abiding is vitally important. There's three areas that we abide in: his presence. Hello? That's through worship. We abide in his word and prayer, and we abide in fellowship. The Bible says, forsake not to assemble. When any of those abidings are broke, I can guarantee you the enemy's accessed already, because he's subtle. You don't even realize that you're drifting away until all of a sudden you go, "Oh my gosh." And you're so far away now, you're like, "Man, I can't believe the things I'm speaking. I can't believe the things I'm thinking. I can't believe the things I'm doing now. How did I get here?" It's because you forsook the abiding law of God. He says, "He who abides in me, I abide in him." In verse 18, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground." Good ground means those who are consistent. Has everybody got it? Do you know that good ground is taken care of? Good ground is watered. Good ground is tilled. Good ground is fertilized. Is everybody with me? That's called good ground. Well, you know that when you can plant something, that soil is clean, it's uncontaminated. Whatever is planted in there will grow. "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Again, he says they, seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing and they may hear and not understand. In other words, parables were given, the mysteries were given to those God who drew. No man comes to the Father unless he is drawn. And when he's drawn, we have a choice. That it's called called. That means invited. You are now invited to be chosen. And you are chosen to be faithful. So the enemy, Satan's kingdom, the adversary, is there to steal the seed. Because only the seed of God, this seed of God brings new birth to the spirit of man, which opens the eyes to see the enemy. It brings a desire to seek truth and to want his presence. Jesus warns us of these enemies and the powers that blind, steal, kill, and destroy. He warns us. You know, he came. The Bible says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. He was anointed to rescue those who've been oppressed by the devil. Listen, your fight is not flesh and blood. It's powers of darkness. Quit blaming people. Quit blaming circumstances. It's the unseen realm. Believe me, it wasn't your husband, it wasn't your wife, and it wasn't your boss. They were just used by the devil. Hello. You have a choice to be offended or not. You have a choice to be angry or not. You have a choice to do the right thing or the wrong thing. God will not interfere with your choice. You have a choice to be an idiot, or you have a choice to be wise. The Bible talks about those who were wise and those who were foolish, right? That's the choice he gives us. And that's every day and every decision. You know, every decision that you got to make that's influencing your life and others, I can guarantee you that the enemy is there trying to influence you to make the wrong decision. That's why the word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. So many times we pick the phone instead of going to the throne. We're looking for carnal comfort instead of the comfort of God's presence. Oh, hallelujah. Go to the book of John, please, in chapter 1. The seed of God. For those who want to know the name of the teaching. It's the seed of God that brings birth. Amen? It brings conception. In John chapter 1 and verse 14. Remember, he talked about the word that is stolen, right? The word that's imparted. Well, that word is known as seed. In verse 14 it says, and the word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me tell you, grace is not some mystical magic. I've been saved by grace. That means I don't have to do nothing. I just go out and serve the devil and expect to go home. Wrong! Who you serve when you die is where you go. But I accepted Jesus 20 years ago. Well, you broke covenant. Those who willfully sin can expect wrath, separation. That's why we have a covenant. It's our responsibility to keep covenant. Amen? Is everybody okay? This is not some religious doctrine. This is truth. Grace means the plan of God. You and I were saved by grace because we cooperate with his plan. When I choose to do my will and serve darkness, I have fallen from grace. Does God still love me? Yes. His love for me is unconditional. But I have the choice of cooperation or not. Listen, your car doesn't drive for you until you get in there and cooperate with it. Hello? There's cooperation. That's where he says, follow me. You know, when he came and showed up to the disciples, he didn't say, believe me. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And as they began to follow him, they began to what? Change. They began to change. See, so many times we want, you know, drive through. Because the world offers on every commercial, take a pill and you'll change. Take a pill and you get stupid. They try to fix oppression with a pill, and the side effect is suicide. Everything is a pill. Pharmakia, which means black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. But see, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Go to verse 11. Look at it. It says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were, that word believe means to follow. When you say you believe, that means you follow. Yeah, I believe. I believe Jesus. Well, do you follow him? Well, no, I just believe him. Well, then it's not believing. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of what? God. The seed of God became flesh. Those who would receive, accept, or eat his fruit would be born of the Spirit, because God is Spirit. Again, something very wrong occurred that God had to come himself into this realm to rescue me and you. In verse 17, it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. In other words, God took God out of his bosom and called him Son and sent him into this world. Is everybody with me? He was still God. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 13, Luke 4:13, it says, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. An opportune time. Man, he waits sometimes. If he can't get you now, he'll get you later. He's always looking to attack one way or another. He looks for cursed items in a home. Then he has access. He looks for things that you've spoken. He looks for things that you're listening to. He looks for things that you're looking at. He looks for things that you're touching. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and touch nothing unclean, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my son. All of these things. In other words, the world is filthy. It's known as outer darkness. The world is contaminated in the things in the world. It's our responsibility to keep ourselves clean. Verse 14. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed a book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. Come on, I want everyone to read this with me. Come on. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery to the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus went in there and proclaimed why he was coming. Well, he needed the anointing. Why? Because he had a battle going on. He had a battle going on because his people were being destroyed. They were being destroyed by the seed of the serpent. They were being destroyed by demons, which are the spirits of the Nephilims, the fallen angels that went into women and produced offsprings in Genesis 6. He was fighting these demonic forces because they were wicked and evil, and they were taking possession of his children. They were contaminating the bloodline that was coming down. And Jesus came and created, manufactured, and manifested a new bloodline, because his old bloodline, the one of his promised seed, was contaminated. Is everybody okay? So he came to set a new covenant, to set a pure bloodline now, no longer of the flesh, but of the throne room of God, anointed and pure, that heals, that forgives, that sets the course of righteousness, that brings covenant with the eternal, that brings us now living from the future instead of the past. The blood, the power of the blood of God Almighty, the seed that died on the cross. There's no coincidence he was on a tree. Hello? There's no coincidence they crucified him with wood of a tree. Does everybody understand that? Because he would be the fruit that man would eat and change. That's why he says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And that's the only way you can have eternal life. Because now we're eating from the tree of life. He is life. He is the resurrection of life. That which was dead, he raises up. Let me tell you, I'm resurrected. Because I was a walking dead person in the world. I was headed for hell. I had no hope. I was a dead man. Money couldn't save me. People couldn't save me. I couldn't save me. Even though I tried multiple times. Only he could save me. And that's what he did. He came and rescued me. Hallelujah. So again, you and I are tempted by the adversary. And Jesus came to manufacture his own blood because it was contaminated. He is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior. He was the Redeemer. He was the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is, and he always will be. In 1 John chapter 3, it's amazing how so much doctrine is out there that states, well, you can't lose your salvation. Well, you give it up. Esau sold his birthright. Hello? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Now let's start at verse 7. You came to hear the truth, right? Praise God. You didn't expect some fluffy Christmas message, did you? In fact, we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December, but we don't even know if Jesus was really born on that day. But that's okay. But I can tell you who was born on that day. Nimrod. Hallelujah. But we won't go there today. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, or verse 7. Everybody read it with me. Little children, let no one what? Let no one what? Deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God doesn't sin. In other words, when you are in that state of born again, and you're walking and maintaining that state of being, Sin doesn't have dominion over you. You have dominion over sin. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. Hello? But you're in fellowship with the Lord. He's always before you. It's just like if you're walking with someone, you step on their foot and you go, excuse me, sorry. Because there's a closeness. See, relationship builds relationship, not works. I'm going to say that again. Relationship builds relationship, not works. Well, I do this for the Lord. I do this for the Lord. Big deal. Do you know him? Oh, yeah, I know him. We write letters to each other. That's long-distance relationship. There's an area where there's a closeness, where he's always before you. Every decision you do, everything you do, he's always there, even when you're on the tennis court. I do a lot of repenting on the tennis court. I can tell you that. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. In verse 10, I want to read this again. Is everybody there? Well, let's read this. In this, the children of God, is everybody there? And the children of the devil are what? Manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Wow. Well, I'm a believer. I just hate everyone. Well, you got a demon. Well, believers can't have a demon. Oh, really? I see one right now. It's amazing how many people don't think a believer can have a demon. What do you think we do here? We cast them out of believers. Hallelujah. Sin is rebellion. Everyone say sin is rebellion. It is rebellion to do the will of God. It's influenced by the presence of evil. And the presence of evil is a demon, a spirit. These are demons. Let me share something with you. These are demons hiding behind the walls of flesh, trying to steal the seed of God or contaminate the soul of carriers of his seed. The fruit of righteousness and the love for the brethren should be manifested. If this is not manifested, there's contamination. Is everybody okay? If these things are not manifested, there's contamination. If you're not willing to fellowship, there's contamination. People chase goosebumps instead of truth. Hello, I can stick my finger in a socket and get goosebumps. They seek signs and wonders instead of truth. They want to do works instead of know him. They want to convince themselves that they know him because of their works. No, man, relationship builds relationship, not works. In Romans chapter 9, Jesus came because man would have been completely lost because of the deceptions of the powers of darkness, because of the infiltration, the demonic forces to produce his own blood and to leave us with weapons. In Romans 9 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Everybody there? Everybody okay? I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternal blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. Hello. In other words, there are many who proclaiming to be Israel, but they are not. See, you know not who you entertain. Even Paul exposed those who were supposedly proclaiming to be apostles, but they were not, because of the infiltration of the enemy who comes to deceive man. Is everybody okay? Verse 7, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. Hello. In other words, the blood was contaminated. In Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. I want to say that again. The children of the flesh are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of the promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also has conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Coming out of the same womb One was the fruit of contamination, and one was the carrier of the seed. So everybody got it. In fact, one was the seed of the serpent. He's the one that chose to sell his birthright. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Because the bloodline was contaminated, two seeds were being produced, seed of God and the seed of the serpent. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 13. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore what? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Knowing that you are not redeemed with what? Corruptible things like the silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, that means follow, right? If you're not following, you can't obey the truth. Through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Endures forever. Born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of the eternal seed of God in Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Let's start it in verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. I'm telling you, like-minded. Like-minded cannot be established unless there's the three abiding. Just won't work. You know, every fellowship has a specific function and purpose. Whether you're a visitor here or whatever, if you're in your fellowships and you're abiding, you'll become like-minded because that fellowship has a purpose. Does everybody understand that? It has a purpose. There's a function for each fellowship. And it's important that you participate in that fellowship and attend their teachings and so forth so that you become like-minded. What we are here is seals. And I don't mean, Hello? We're not those kind of seals. We're like a special task force. We are armed and dangerous. God has called us for a specific purpose. And as the deal in the arena of the demonic arena, although everyone should deal in the demonic arena so people can get free. Everybody needs to go through deliverance. But in that abiding is a purpose. It's like being trained. So we're being trained up for a specific purpose and a reason and a function. We are called. Our call is battle, to battle. You're called to battle. Amen? Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And your destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the talents and ability God's given you. That's how we infiltrate. So if you're a football player or attorney or a teacher, whatever talent God has blessed you with, you're to use that to infiltrate. But if you're infiltrating without abiding, eventually you will begin to lose the battle. You'll begin to lose sight of things. Is everybody okay? Verse 3. You won't become like-minded with what God has prepared for you. You'll begin to drift. And I can tell you that the enemy will begin to mess with your mind. You'll find other things in priority. Your orders, divine orders, will get out of order. You'll find other things that are more important. You'll make excuses. In verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's why the Bible says that you and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and don't love our lives. We're willing to die because we're dying for a cause, eternal cause. That doesn't mean we're going to go out and blow up buildings. We're not going to commit suicide because you go to hell if you do. Hello. That means that we're willing to deny ourselves, our will, our life to fulfill the will and the life of God in this realm. Like-minded. The Bible says that we must work out our own salvation with fear, which is reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord, and trembling, so that you stand, knowing that you are going to stand before God. There'll be a day of judgment. But you know what? If you're really in a relationship with Him, you're standing before Him every single day, every moment. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us, you don't have to go there, it tells us that you and I are not fighting flesh and blood. Amen? We're not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, demonic forces and spirits. So we must begin to learn how to battle in the spirit. And if we lack abiding, we're not going to be quickened to those things. We're going to be easily swayed. In Matthew 10:34, you don't have to go there. Jesus said, I didn't come and bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And that's known as the sword of the spirit. There's too many individuals that proclaim to be believers that never even pick up a sword. Now, I don't mean a physical sword. I mean the sword of the word of God that's backed by the anointing that comes out of your mouth. See, time is short now. Very short. It's time to wake up. Because if you don't wake up, you're going to get slaughtered. If you don't come out from among them, you're going to be deceived. And the enemy will use you to serve him, and you won't even know it. In Romans 16, would you go there for a moment? So we are to use this sword. Amen? In Romans 16 and verse 17. Would you read it with me? Now I urge you, brethren, note those who what? Cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned and avoid them. Hello? And what? Avoid them. In other words, you know, just... For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their what? Their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. This should not be difficult. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. In Ezekiel 36, hang tough, we got about 40 more scriptures. Amen. I'm only kidding. Couple more. Then you go home and eat popcorn. Ezekiel 36. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Or let's start at 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel. You know, when God's talking to the house of Israel, he's talking to the body of Christ also. Thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you've went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you. In other words, new seed, his seed, the seed of God. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments in what? And you will do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I want to close in Romans chapter 15, the seed of God. In verse 5, Romans 15:5, And may the God of all patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ has also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he will rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing and following, that you may be bound in the hope by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for the seed of your word. And it's our responsibility to protect that seed. So, Father, we apply the blood of Jesus on that seed. And we ask you to continue to keep us filled with the Holy Spirit, that we may see, that we may hear, and that we may obey, and bring you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen.